check. Hey, how's it going? Good. Welcome today to all of you. It's good to see you. Today we are concluding the series called It Is Well With My Soul, where we've been talking about the rhythms of a healthy soul. We looked at the daily rhythm of silence and solitude. You remember that? We looked at the weekly rhythm of Sabbath last week. Today, though, I want to talk to you about the moment-by-moment rhythm of gratitude. So to start us off, I'm going to read you four verses here and see if you can kind of notice a pattern. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work, produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and love all of you have for one another is increasing. So I'm sure you notice a pattern there. Something you find throughout Paul's letters is he's always giving thanks. He's always thanking God for other people. He's thanking God for the grace that he's been shown. He thanks God for every ministry opportunity he gets, for every blessing that he receives from others. He even thanks God when he's suffering, and he thanks God that God strengthens him in his suffering as he suffers. Gratitude permeates Paul's life. It's just a central thing. Paul found in every circumstance reasons to give thanks, and he instructs the disciples of Jesus to do the same thing. So, for example, in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always be thankful. Notice Paul here doesn't specify why we're supposed to be thankful, because he's talking about the kind of person we are to become. Be a thankful kind of person. Be a person who doesn't take anything for granted. Be that kind of person that's always expressing gratitude. And notice here, Paul doesn't give us a suggestion. It's a command. Always be thankful. Another passage is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's the will of God? That you will, in all circumstances, be rejoicing and praying and giving thanks. Now notice, Paul doesn't say that we're supposed to give God thanks for all circumstances. In all circumstances, give thanks. So if you're here this morning and maybe you have cancer, God doesn't expect you to thank him for that cancer, right? Because the truth is, he didn't give you that cancer. Cancer's not a gift. What Paul is saying is that in all circumstances, including when you have cancer, rejoice and pray and give thanks. Because despite how terrible cancer is, you've got thousands of other reasons to give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. And it's not a coincidence that he mentions here in Colossians being thankful in the same passage as living in peace. There's a connection between those two things. Having a thankful disposition and having peace are intrinsically connected. So here's the thing. God created us, and so he knows a thing or two about how we're wired. He kind of knows how we work, and he knows what behaviors harm us, and he knows what behaviors help us. And there's a reason why he tells us over and over again, be thankful. He knows that we're at our best when we're walking in gratitude. This is how we're designed to work. That's why when we're cultivating a heart of gratitude, we find ourselves being more peaceful and happy. There's just a mountain of scientific evidence that proves this. There's a whole field of science called the science of gratitude now. About a decade and a half ago, scientists wanted to find out what makes people happy, because everybody wants to be happy. And humans are actually very bad at predicting what makes us happy. So this would be a pretty important scientific discovery. And what they found is, by far and away, the common denominator that happy people had in common was that they were grateful people. They started doing tests, and without exception, it's like a law of nature, people became happier as they became more grateful. And now it's just called the science of gratitude. A pioneer and leader in this field is Dr. Robert Emmons. He wrote a book. Some of you might want to check that out. I'm not going to mention anyone specifically, but thanks is the title of the book. You can find the book at our resources page on urfellowship.com. Thanks has a bunch of reports on all the scientific research of gratitude. Really interesting stuff, so I'm just going to give you a little snippet of this. If this isn't your kind of thing or the kind of thing that excites you, well, just bear with me as I geek out for a moment, but this stuff is really interesting to me. Okay, so in one study, Robert Emmons and this other scientist, Michael McCullough, they did a 10-week study, and they took a bunch of people, and they randomly divided them into three groups. Number one was told for 10 weeks every day, notice and record things that you are grateful for and write them in a journal. Group number two was to notice and record things that irritated them. And then group number three was just to write down things that affected them, for better or for worse. At the end of 10 weeks, they found that group number three was about the same. Okay, they just reported what affected them. Number two, as you can imagine, they wrote down things that irritated them. They were more miserable. Group number one, that recorded every day things that they noticed and were grateful for, they were significantly happier than they were before the study, significantly. In fact, not only that, but they found that this group tended to be more optimistic than they had been before. They had less stress, less anxiety than they did before. They slept better, and then some stuff started to surprise them. They got sick significantly less than the other two groups. And then what they did before the study. They exercised more than the other groups, and no one told them to exercise more. They didn't even remember, for the most part, making a decision about it. They just wanted to exercise more. Their capacity for empathy had increased, and so they were helping people more than they had before. And they found that this group developed more new social connections than they had before. There's something about gratitude that seems to attract people to you, and you develop more relationships. All of that because for only 10 weeks, they simply noticed and wrote down things that they were thankful for. And this should become a rhythm of ours. So I want to issue here a home challenge starting today. Okay, challenge you to just write down a couple times throughout the day, write down things that you notice and are grateful for. And the more specific, the better. Don't just say, well, I'm thankful for my granddaughter. What is it about her that you're thankful for specifically? Write those things down. Give God thanks for that blessing. There's just a mountain of evidence that this is the key to happiness. It improves everything. Doesn't solve everything, but it improves everything. You can have better self-esteem, less stress, less sickness, better sleep, more empathy, less anger, better relationships, more relationships. It improves everything just by being grateful. So it's really not an overstatement to say that really this is the key to happiness. And we can begin to understand now why God stresses the importance of being thankful. He knows how we work. And he knows that we are at our best when we're grateful. And that's why we're happy. And God makes good parent wants us to be happy. And we can start it right now. Think of something you're grateful for. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But persevering in that course is a challenge, especially for us here in America and in other Western countries. There's a lot of things that work against us. Paul said in Philippians 4, 11 through 12, he says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. We have to realize that we live in a culture that really conditions us not to be content. Whatever you have, don't be content with that. This is the air we breathe as a capitalist nation. Now, I would agree in terms of worldly thinking that it is a pretty brilliant economic system. That's the upside to capitalism. But as kingdom people, we've got to really realize the downside of it. The downside is that what makes capitalism a brilliant economic system is the system runs on people being discontent and people always wanting more. If someone invented a contentment pill and everyone in America took it, everyone would stop buying stuff they didn't need, and our economy would collapse in a nanosecond. It runs on people wanting more. However much you have, you feel like you need something more. And I want to say, God bless those who work in the advertising industry. There's no judgment about that. It's fine, but we got to say this out loud. Every advertisement we see, whether it's on the TV or computer or iPhone or billboard or, you know, wherever you look, there's an advertisement. Every one of those advertisements are designed by very brilliant people to do one thing and do it very well. And that is to get you to feel like you need what they're selling. Don't be content with what you have. You need this. Upgrade. If you just drove this luxury car, wore this fancy watch, brushed your teeth with this miracle toothpaste, and use this supersonic electric brush, and you gargle with this whitening mouthwash, everybody would like you, and your life would be better. If you just had this bigger house, and you drank this beer, you could have a party on the beach, and you'd look better, you'd feel better. If you just ate this super product and drank this super water, popped this super pill, went on this super diet, and it's all about don't be content with whatever you have. You can do better. You can be sexier. You can get more attention. You can be smarter. Which, if you think about it, is the exact same sales pitch that was offered Eve in the garden. Genesis 3 in the first advertisement in history. And it's no coincidence that the fall happened right after that advertisement. Hey, you, don't be content with what you got. No, girl, you got to up your game. You can do better than this walking with God in the cool of the day stuff. Now look over yonder. Look at that tree. Pretty tasty fruit, I bet. Right? But don't hesitate because supplies are limited. It's a one-time offer. Visa and MasterCard are accepted. See, what we have got to realize is that commercial is all around us all day long, every single day. That same sales pitch has always been there. Don't be content. And if we're not content with what we have, we're not thankful for what we have. And we're not happy because we're not in the will of God, right? We often see the effects, but we fail to notice the cause. So to get out of this trap and cultivate a thankful disposition is going to require us to swim upstream. And it's a strong stream. And so that means that we're going to have to be very intentional about it. The challenge is to stay on course and not fall back into our old attitudes of taking everything for granted and not being thankful for things. The key is to remember, take nothing for granted. And we can just start with the fact that if you're in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that's a gift. Never take that for granted. Always be thanking God for that gift. God had to be willing to set aside all of his divine blessing and to become a human being. Jesus had to be willing to be arrested, had to be willing to be beaten and mocked and tortured and crucified. Never take that for granted. Always be giving thanks. God had to defeat the accuser that held our sins over us, and he nailed the sins to the cross, and now they are as far from us as the east is from the west. Never take that for granted. Always be thanking God for that. The truth is, you may not have much going on in this life, but if you have embraced the truth about who Jesus is, you have got a trillion times more reasons to be thankful than the richest person on this planet who doesn't know Jesus. So give God thanks. You may not have a roof over your head or have two pennies to rub together. You know, maybe your wife just left you for your only friend and took your dog with her. You know, maybe your life is one long, sad country western song. But I'm telling you, if you know the saving truth of Jesus, if you embrace that and live by that, you've got more reasons to give thanks than the wealthiest person on this planet. And that's why you can give God all the glory and you can give God thanks in all circumstances. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. The Bible says we are declared holy and blameless in his sight, and we're loved, and we're filled with the Spirit. We're being transformed by his love. Give God thanks. You always have reasons to give thanks. In James, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every single positive thing in your life is something that's a gift that you should be thankful for. Think of it like this. If we don't give thanks for the fact that, say, we have food on the table, it means that you're taking that food for granted. You think you're entitled to that food. Here's another part of our culture. It conditions us to feel like we're entitled. And nothing kills gratitude like entitlement. Take nothing for granted. This is why as Christians, we traditionally pray before meals, to stop and express gratitude for the gift of food. Food scarcity has been the rule for centuries. It's only very recently the food abundance is a thing. So our history as Christians is that we thanked God for our food. And sometimes, just by the way we act like we're entitled to have plenty of food that we can get in seconds from the comfort of our car. Or we act like we're entitled to have ears that can hear, or legs that can walk, or arms that can move things, or a heart that can beat on its own, or lungs that breathe on their own. But there are some folks who don't have those things, and there's no reason why you're not among them. So be thankful. Don't focus on what you don't have. Give thanks for every single thing. You know, just being here with this little church, we are so blessed. We're so blessed that we get to come together and sacrifice in ways that make a profound impact on other people's lives. And it ripples out into eternity. You know how rare that is? Our lives get to count. We have meaning. We have purpose. So many people live their lives without any sense of meaning or purpose. But we get together and we make this huge impact. We are blessing the city. We are sending people to other nations. We get to see people saved and set free. That's a gift we didn't earn and we don't deserve and we're not entitled to. It's a sheer gift. So if you get this into this soul rhythm and you persevere in that course, you'll find yourself happier. You might find you feel better about yourself. You have less stress, less anger, less anxiety. You might be healthier, getting sick less often. You'll have greater empathy for others. You'll be sharing your resources more than with others. You might even find that you sleep better. You have better relationships. You have more relationships. And you don't have to buy that new car to get it. It's free. And we don't do it to get happy. We do it because it's God's will. But man, when we do it, we get happy. Amen? Okay, three quick tips here. The real issue here is to remember. Because the momentum of our life and our patterns of thought are strong. So if our default is not in line with this, we've got to change our default. And that takes some time. So accept the home challenge, all right? Do whatever it takes to remember this. And you might want to make a covenant with somebody else who also wants to make gratitude a rhythm in their life. Everything in the kingdom works better when done in relationship. So people, I know people put a timer on their watch or their phone and it beeps every hour to remind them to give thanks for something. I encourage you to get in the habit of giving thanks first thing in the morning. Why? Because you just woke up. You got another day. Every breath is a gift from God. So give thanks. And just start your day with a sense of gratitude. You may not be in the mood. You're tired. You're kind of grouchy. All right, let the will of God overpower your mood. And then at night, before you go to bed, just think about the day and give thanks for Him for everything that comes to mind there. Number two, don't just think it. All studies show that thinking gratitude is good, but saying it or writing it down triples the effect. There's something about saying it. It deepens the sense of gratitude and reinforces it. And so as you're going about your day and you're thankful for something, you know, don't like shout it out at Target. Don't be weird, but whisper, "Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Jesus." You're reinforcing and deepening that sense of gratitude. So don't just think it, say it, or write it down. That also reinforces it. Third thing, final thing, watch out for the negative talk. Because the same way that positive talk reinforces positive attitudes, negative talk reinforces the negative and drives gratitude right out the window. And there's proper context where you need to complain about something or where you need to critique something or someone. There's appropriate context. But that is appropriate when it is done for the purpose of improving something or helping someone. When it's done in love. Paul says, do everything in love. So if you critique or complain, it's because you're trying to help. But if you're critiquing and complaining and you're not trying to help, you're just whining. If you're gossiping and slandering, I would politely invite you to zip it. That's the opposite of gratitude. So really, watch out for negative talk. So I encourage us to remember, it's easy in this moment. But an hour from now, tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year, that's the goal. Just start noticing. Train your eyes to see what you do have, not what you don't have. Because we're swimming upstream on this. But it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen, Bruce.
You know, the enemy of our souls, Satan, his name really means accuser. And it's his job to nitpick, to find fault, to look for the bad. And, you know, we're instructed to do all things without grumbling and complaining. And, you know, thankfulness is the language of heaven. And, of course, grumbling and complaining is the language of hell. So, how many people want to be happy? Okay, at least half of us. You know, thankfulness is a surefire way of getting there. And just appreciate that word, Chris. That was excellent. Definitely always, we all need reinforcements on that one, don't we? So, I encourage us, let's stand here and let's give our hearts to the Lord in a fresh new way. Let's not just let this message be a rah-rah thing and let it roll off our backs, but let it change us from the inside. And so I encourage you to just give your heart to the Lord in a fresh way and ask Him how you can be more thankful, how you can respond more to His grace, how you can have just pray even for eyes to see those things that He's given. You know, as we look for, you know, the Bible says, seek and you'll find. And it's like what you look for, you find. If we look for the kindness of God, we're going to see the kindness of God. So, Lord, I pray that you would transform us from the inside out, Lord. Lord, we want to partner with you and to just enter into the fullness of the life that you have for us, Lord. You've instructed us, Lord, to give thanks in everything, Lord. And Lord, there's a path to life there, Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would write this on our heart, that we could be known for thankfulness, Lord, that we would be known for seeing the good and even calling that out in others, Lord God, to seeing what's beyond the surface, Lord, to be ones who are just overflowing with thankfulness and joy. Thank you, Lord, for you have promised, Lord, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, Lord. And so we are going to just look for that and declare that and speak that, Lord God, and not partner with the evil one who is the accuser, but we're going to partner with God who is the encourager. In Jesus' name, amen.